Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention?
And now for something completely different.
I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
It's the Patty Vasquez Show.
Oh, my God.
Swing.
The Patty Vasquez Show.
Dad, she's like a dad.
Mom is sitting right there.
Are you ready for this?
Seriously, is it going to be hot or cold tomorrow? Because I need to know how high I have to shake. Let's go.
Chicago's own Patty Vasquez, everybody.
WGN.
Thank you. Hello. I'm live in the Allstate Showcase studio. It was a great day. Like, I mean, in a beautiful, like, sunshiny, great summer day, you know? We went really hot 2 days ago, a little cool yesterday. This seemed like it was right in the middle. And I'm excited to be here. I have comedian Pete Lee in the green room for just a couple minutes, so I can settle in and say hi to Craig, because we've been running around. Jill and hey, Judy.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi. I don't think we've ever worked together, Judy Pilak.
I don't think so.
This is exciting.
Yeah.
Three women.
People should be scared.
Three girls really on the radio. Craig is very scared.
I am. Judy was on our show once, though. She was on for that
briefly
all women's night that we did.
On the phone. That's right.
Oh, right.
On Super Bowl Sunday.
That is the only time we've featured her so far.
I ended up getting in a little bit of trouble after that one. Not when you were on the phone. After midnight, we got a little naughty with just language.
I mean,
it was all
darn. I wish I had been there.
It was all FCC approved. It was just, it got a little, we were giggling a lot about girl.
And you got in trouble for that? Come on.
For girl parts. I got like a lot of social media hatred for that show.
People have to lighten up.
I know. It's all right.
Yeah, it's a double standard. Men can talk about our parts, no problem. But when you ladies talk about yours, apparently that is just not okay.
And
we can even talk about your parts, no problem.
Really?
I think so.
How do you talk about our parts?
Yeah, go ahead, Craig. Which parts in particular?
What
shot.
Kind of box did I get myself in, and how do
there you go.
Where's the seams on this box?
Right, I don't know what I've gotten lost in.
You already got into it.
3 minutes.
I stopped in the green room. Actually, speaking of parts, I was talking to Pete Lee, and he goes, you look fit. And he goes, and your boobs didn't shrink. So that's a big win. And I was like, and he prefaced it by saying, this is going to sound really sexist, by the way. So that was, I feel flattered I can do ab work, but you can't make those smaller. Okay. So there you go. I've never liked
you it. Said something about not wanting to get in trouble, and then we're going that route right away.
Talking about boobs?
Right. Is there a boob workout?
No, I don't think so. You just have to lose a lot of weight.
And then they're all fat, right?
It's all fat and tissue. Yes.
Tissue. Why do you want to lose your boobs anyway, though? You want to get skinny and keep your boobs.
I've never liked having being well endowed, as it were. Yeah, I know.
It's always what you don't have. That
I
you
hear
want.
That.
Jill, tell her.
It's embarrassing. It's like you walk in the room before you walk in the room, and you know, especially when you're younger.
Yeah, I kind of want that.
Take some.
The boobs are always bigger on the other side of the fence, aren't they? I can't carry, like, I can't explain it, but I'm, you know, the older I get, I'm actually getting better at being confident with the way I look.
Yeah, work it, sister. Come on.
Well, that's why I wear the dresses and the heels now. I was always a tomboy. That was part of it, too. It got in the way of my swing. You know, I could have been a better hitter if these weren't in the way. You know, I've heard this or read this, that the Amazons, the women who were archers, would cut off the breasts so they would have better. You have to look that up for me, Craig.
Wow.
So I'm crazy.
Really? I have to look that up? Sounds terrible.
Amazon warriors, archers. Cutting off breasts for better shots. Yes, that's your job right now. You're not going to get fired for it.
Yeah.
It's historical research.
You know, I typed into Google Amazon Warrior B, and it auto-filled out breast removal.
There you go.
Wow. Yeah, apparently they did this.
They did that, as far as we know. I don't know how, I mean, were there...
They were Amazons. They were able to do that.
They could handle the pain.
Yeah. Lampedo was an Amazon queen who made it famous, apparently.
Lampedo.
L-A-M-P-E-D-O.
Okay.
Lampedo, I think.
Lampedo, maybe.
Lampedo. Yeah, you never know.
It's all
burning
the pronunciation.
Torch. It means burning torch.
Burning torch. Now, Judy, are you generally up this late?
No, I'm not. I'm really shocked at how good I sound.
You sound great. And when do you have to get up tomorrow?
Yeah, I won't be in tomorrow. This is the second shift I'm doing.
She's like,
today.
Yeah, that's not happening.
Yeah, that's not happening. I've been here since 11 a.m.
She's like, cut me.
Yeah. Oh, Rob had a little emergency, so I...
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, there you go.
He's fine. Everything's fine. Yeah.
All right. We got to meet his sons over the last couple nights.
Yeah. They looked very similar.
They did. I thought it was the same one.
And they're not. They're fraternal.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
They are?
Yeah. Because I said, the second day I was like, I just met him yesterday, but he was looking at me like he didn't know me.
Mm-hmm.
And then he introduced that it was the other son. I said, I thought they're identical. He said, no, they're fraternal. I said, wow.
I'll tell you,
cookie cutters.
I'll tell you something. That kid came in here and he went down hard. He ate the pulled pork sandwiches and the ribs. He looked like a skinny kid and he was just chowing down.
Yeah, he's at that age. Yeah.
Like son, like father.
There you go. We've got comedian Pete Lee in the green room. We're going to bring him out in just a moment. Bring him out. I feel like we're rolling him out like on a dolly or something. Could you bring him out? Could you release him from the green room shortly? We'll see how that goes when we come back on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez. Jill. Judy, this is, let me introduce you and our audience, to and Craig as well, because you just met him in the green room, to comedian Pete Lee.
Hello. How are you?
Many of you recognize from VH1's Best Week Ever.
Best Week Ever.
Ever.
And the last time I was here 2 weeks after it got canceled, so this was like you were consoling me.
Your swan song.
It was my swan song. But then I Love the 2000s aired, which we shot while doing Best Week Ever, mm-hmm. and it got like insane ratings.
Great.
Yeah, where like Best Week Ever would get like 250,000 people that watch it, and I Love the 2000s got like 1 million, and they keep re-airing it all the time, and so now there's talk that Best Week Ever is going to come back because of the thing that we did that was like it.
There you go. See?
It was great.
You don't know what you miss until you get rid of it.
Yeah. They didn't know that they missed me.
They didn't know that. We need our Pete Lee back.
Yeah, but now maybe I don't want to go back. Maybe maybe I found something new.
Have you?
No.
Okay.
They don't need to know that.
Yeah, they don't need to know that.
That's another business.
Yeah, it's
negotiations, baby.
Yeah, I shot a thing for Comedy Central recently that I had to audition for, and I'm super proud that I did it. But it's just a commercial mm-hmm. for Comedy Central and Fruit Loops.
Nice.
And so I'm basically pitching that like when you're an adult, you can eat Fruit Loops any time of the day, and it's a really funny commercial. It's so funny because like I'm like, yeah, I'm not on a show anymore, but I am doing a commercial for Fruit Loops.
Oh, I want. And you're the perfect spokesperson for both Comedy Central and Fruit Loops.
And Fruit Loops. I'm the Fruit Loops pitch man.
I think that goes together very well.
Yeah.
And you've been traveling a lot?
Yeah. Well, I actually know. Well, I've been traveling like for fun. Like I took a lot of the summer off from stand-up because I wanted
because you wanted to and because the clubs are dead.
The clubs
tell,
are dead.
Tell the truth.
The clubs suck. But come down to Zany's.
You said you sold out last night.
Sold out last night. It's like people in Radio Land need to know like how rare it is to sell out a club in the summer.
Mm-hmm.
And like I felt really special. And
Rockstar.
There were a lot of people that came to see me last night, and like slowly through time, like people, my fan base has been building up to the point where we could sell out on a Wednesday in July.
And
I'm a crier, and I was like, I'm not gonna cry in front of you guys because I felt really emotional about it.
Would you cry if they gave you a standing ovation?
Probably.
Have you gotten one?
Yeah.
It's weird.
It is weird. You're like, what do I do with my face right now?
I got one. My first one, I was at the Center for Performing Arts, and it was an all Latina crowd.
Yeah.
And they gave me a standing ovation, and I felt it coming on. And a girl in the audience goes, pull it together, girl.
Yeah, that is a really weird thing when you mm-hmm. find out when you because you don't know you don't even know a cry is going to happen
mm-hmm.
right like a second before it starts to happen. But when you feel that it's starting to happen, you're like, oh no,
it's hard to stop.
It is.
Yeah,
I was in a management meeting and I almost started crying.
Yeah,
and I was like, don't be that girl, don't be that girl, and I didn't. But my throat got tight, my voice got a little bad.
Can I tell a crying story? How much time do we have?
You have time.
Okay, so this last weekend, you're like the fourth person that I'm telling this. So Jamie and I got Jamie's my wife. We got a false positive on an STD test. We both got.
But first, it seemed positive, and then you found out it was false. Is that what you mean by false positive?
False positive means that on Friday they told us that my wife had gonorrhea.
What?
Oh my God.
And then all weekend we thought that my wife had gonorrhea, and then on Monday they called and said, "Oh, my bad." Right?
Is that really medical terminology?
My bad.
My bad.
My bad. Like they were like, "We made a mistake, and we're sorry." And I'm like, "Okay, yeah, that's fine that you made a mistake." Like there wasn't a lot of crying and a family reunion of hers that we had to go to and act like we were okay.
You gotta be all normal
and be normal. But
well, what kind of things are going through your mind? How did you get it? Who gave it to me? What were you doing?
And I didn't have it in my test, mm-hmm. and like my stuff, my white blood cells counts were like fine. like there wasn't an infection happening in my body. And in hers, they were like, yeah, you have full-blown.
Full-blown, even.
Full-blown G-town for her downtown. And, yeah, and so I'm like right away, I was like, well, I don't believe this because I don't think that you're cheating on me. And she's like, I'm not. And then like I kind of like every time that we wouldn't be together, like it would fester and I'd be like, it, you know, I'm taking the cat. Like that's what like most guys are like right away. They're like, who is he? I want to kick his butt. And I was like, I'm taking the cat. but we were at her, I just like held it together and I kind of was like in denial almost like, no, this isn't even happening. And then we were at her family reunion, right? So every one of her family members and like the kind of family members that are like, so you're a comedian, make me laugh. And I'm just like trying not to cry the whole time.
Yeah, trying to cry and punch somebody.
Yeah. And so finally I was like, Jamie, I'm like, I'm just going to go for a walk. Like in the, I'm just going
to. Where were you guys?
Like, we were in Pennsylvania, okay. Middle Pennsylvania where her family's from. So like I go for a walk. And like, and then I just like sit down and like Jamie kind of finds me. And then like, we just like had like a big cry, you know, like we both were just like, I was like, I don't know how this is happening. And I'm not rational. And I'm like, I'm just sad. And like, and I was like, and every girl that I've been with has cheated on me. And you were supposed to be special. Yada, yada, yada. And,
whoa.
And like, and she's crying and I'm crying. And then like her nieces and nephews just run up to us. Like, you guys are the fun ones in the family. And I want to hang out. And like, we want to find out what you want for dinner. And like, and so I'm like, you know, when you're crying and like your face is just like it's like comical how like your face is like every fluid that I make is going to be on your face like just like
wow.
That you know like Niagara Falls of face stuff and like
you mean snot and
yeah.
Tears
oh,
the
yeah,
way you snot. Said it first time is kind of
kind of crying do you do
yeah what kind of crying do we yeah
bodily fluids
yeah oh yeah I don't make that yeah. In my face
Jill and I got locked into that
yikes
we were trying to imagine no you mean snot and tears
and
possibly earwax we if yeah, we're going to keep in this region yes
just everything and then they are like running up to us and being like, Grandma wants what you want to, do you want a hot dog or a brat or a hamburger? And like, it was really funny to me, like crying in front of them because like you still have to answer their question, but like, there's nothing funnier than crying and then saying normal things.
Yes, exactly.
You know, like, you're like, and like a hamburger and some Fritos.
Doesn't everything feel more intense too? I mean, like just even the act of asking for something, like, I don't want to be doing this. Is the last thing I want to be doing right now.
Yeah, and then like Jamie was like, "Will you not tell everybody that they were crying in the woods?" And then of course we get back, and everybody's like, "Why are you crying? What's happening?" And then we got to be like, "Nothing," because you can't tell her family. You
no.
Can't tell her grandmother.
You can tell people in Chicago on the radio, but you can't. Yeah. Tell, but now it's not, it wasn't the case. But
it
still.
Wasn't the case, and that's the only reason why I'm talking about it is because
right,
it
at
wasn't
the time
the case.
To you it was reality.
Yeah,
you can't tell your family.
Yeah, and now Jamie works for a law firm, and she's like, "We're gonna sue that hospital and
yeah.
Blah blah." And I'm like,
mental anguish.
Yeah, mental anguish. But
ruining
I'm like,
a family reunion.
Yeah, but I'm like Jamie. We don't. I'm like, how about this is just done? How about this is done?
And shoot, no. You're not in her body. She wants revenge.
Yeah, she
you're not in her mind. She wants them to just eat their words, and she wants them to be in pain,
yeah.
Suffer.
Yeah, yes. She wants them to have gonorrhea of the business and pay up.
Did you do while you were at the family? Were you doing like research on like other ways you can get gonorrhea aside from having sex? Because
yeah.
You're like, well, there has to be like, was it a public toilet? Was it something? Yeah,
yeah,
that's what I would do.
I was reading all these message boards, all this water, and like there'd be message boards that would be like, it's possible to get it from other places, and then like a message board that would be titled like, "Face it, she's cheating, loser." Yeah. And you're just like,
Oh, man, we're going to catch up a little bit more with Pete Lee in just a little bit. And you're listening to Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez. You're listening to Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez. I am Patty. That's me. I don't know why. It's just so weird to say my name. You know, we do have to get that done. Craig, we had a management meeting today, and it's weird. I've never worked someplace where you meet with management. Like, you sit down, you have a scheduled time.
Yeah, that sounds really fun.
They say nice things about you.
Today they did. We've had other meetings.
Do they clap when you come in? Is that like a thing?
No. Mostly when we leave, actually, they applaud too. Which
yes.
Is really
oh,
nice.
Look, they're gone. Judy, have you had what is it? Well, you kind of run stuff. So you have meetings with other people, don't you?
Sort of.
Yeah. Sort of.
Yes, I do.
It's intimidating for being on the other side of your desk from people like you. I'm just saying.
Really?
Well, I've never had to do it. Pete
I think
and
we
I,
should call her you people.
You people.
We
you,
be like, the, you people.
You people in management. No, but I mean, Pete and I are independent contractors
yeah.
And have been for most of our careers. Even if you get a television gig, you could be, you know, it's not quite they'll go over what your performance was like.
Yeah, and, but you, I like at the at when I was on Best Week Ever, they would have meetings, and I just I can't I don't like meetings.
Do
like,
you get they, sleepy?
Well, they. Yeah, I don't know. I think like I get bored, and then my mind starts to go, and then the carnival starts, and then I go crazy in them. And so like I like we could be doing anything else. Like if there was a meeting where it was like we're gonna play ping pong, like Pete gets to play ping pong during the meeting, I could do a meeting. But I like I they make my skin crawl.
Yeah.
I had a meeting with Paramount recently, and I was like, can we just go walk around? And then I pitched a show to them, and, like, the show's, like we're going down the line with the show.
Yeah.
Like, they bought the show in the meeting. We just walked around the lot. But I was like,
I'm going to do that at my next meeting. Can we just go for a walk?
Go walk through the building. Like, right. Let's just walk through the building instead of sitting at this table.
Does that show have a whole bunch of, like, walking scenes, like House yeah. or something, yeah. where you just walk the whole time?
It's like a Will Smith movie where he runs with his shirt open but just walking. That's what it is.
When you do your pitch, I've been talking to people about this. I was in Los Angeles last week doing mm-hmm. pitches. When oh. you do your pitching, was yours like was it reality based or was it a like a written,
it's a scripted
series?
Show? Yeah, yeah.
And did you do any of the characters or how did you do your pitch? I'm gonna pick the brain of Pete Lee.
I'm so not confident in like those kind of things. So I was like, you guys probably don't even want this idea. But, like that's how I started out. I was like, yeah, you probably don't even want it, but like it might be good. And like here's the general idea. And then they're like, do you have other ideas? And I was like, no. And but I was like, this is fun, we're walking. And then at the end of the meeting, they're like, we really like that idea. They're like, why don't you flesh that out into a treatment?
Right.
And
did you do a treatment that was like a one page, or do you have to do like the characters? And
yeah, I did all the characters. Okay. And I broke out the whole season and what, like I did way too much work on it. My writing partner Emily and I, we really like getting together, and so it was really fun. Like we just did too much work on it because we like hanging out.
Is there such a thing as too much work?
No, I guess not. I mean, because no. eventually
if you sold
you're going to have to do that work anyway. There are people yeah. waving outside the studio. Hello, people. Look at them. They're snuggling with each
Aww.
Other. They're just snuggling.
Hi.
And they keep doing the things that we were saying. They keep making out. And, you know, that guy's taking his shirt off.
They're very fit. Look at that.
They are very fit.
They're a very handsome couple. Would yeah. you say is handsome? That's a weird way to yeah. say.
That guy's drinking coffee at night.
I know. He's not messing around. Yeah, he's got a workout to do after this.
He does. Yeah. He does. I bet that guy's confident in meetings, though, right?
It just seems like he'd be a comic. Well, and I mean, with a bald head too, you know, like he it's a little shiny. Even at night, it's shining in the street.
Look, she's all over
wow.
that bald head.
Now they're performing for us. Yeah. What did you do, Pete? You draw
okay,
attention.
Okay, honestly, anything you say, they're doing it.
Yeah,
they're
they
like
are
monkeys.
And they can hear us. Can't they still hear us? No.
And then, oh my God, now they're murdering someone. Wait, don't do that, you guys. Don't do that.
No. So you and your writing partner did a lot of extra work. Because, yeah. But the thing is if you once you get moved down the line, now you're ahead of the game. You can move ahead to other things.
Yeah, yeah. Now now we're actually to the point where we're working on the script for it. Like, mm-hmm. like, and we pretty much, like when we did the treatment, we had almost written the script anyway. Like we'd really detailed outline the script, and then we didn't put all of that into the treatment. So we're ahead of the game there. But yeah, it's a really cute sitcom idea. And it was actually a sitcom based around a problem that my writing partner is having right now.
Okay.
And when I was just on that walk around the thing, I sort of sold them on this idea that she didn't even know that I sold, that's intensely personal, that she probably wouldn't want me to like talk about. And so I called her. I was like, hey, good news, we sold a show. And she's like, that's insane. And I was like, I sold a show about your current situation that you don't want to talk about with anybody. But like, you know how we are as like comics right. and entertainers. She's like, okay. She's like, I'm in.
Oh,
she's like,
nice.
She's like,
yeah,
secrets
of course.
Secrets are out. And
yeah, you sell. Yeah, you go with one. You go with what you know, and two, you sell a script. You're in.
Yeah, you're in. And so now, we have another you just keep having like these. I don't even know what to call them, like a signpost in the road, or
right.
I don't know if that's what it's called, like where we
mile marker
where we have to check in with them, and like we and if it goes past that mile marker, we get to keep going with it, and we keep having these mile markers, and they're like, yeah, we still want you guys to keep going, and the next phase is going to be that we get to shoot a pilot.
Nice.
You know? And I'm like, this is just, it's insane.
Yeah.
Like,
no, it's insane. Fantastic. Congratulations.
Well, yeah. And yeah. maybe that's the thing that's like, okay, take that Best Week Ever. I got this going on.
And are you
going
to do an episode of the false positive gonorrhea weekend you had?
I think that that's
how do you not do that?
That's an episode. That's absolutely an episode.
You have to.
That's a full thing. I mean, because we had so many things where, you know, the inciting incident of that is mm-hmm. that you find out that you have that thing. And then the end of it is the false positive. I mean, and then all the things you went through in the weekend, you know?
All the rage and the fear, suspicions.
Yeah.
All the wide range.
range of emotions, sadness.
Yeah, crying and needing to say normal things.
And people wanting me to eat hot dogs and hamburgers. Yeah. I don't want anything.
Yeah, like talking to her gram and not being like, you did this to her somehow.
I blame your side of the family.
Yeah.
You're all terrible people.
You're all terrible. Maybe that's going to be the crescendo of the episode where I'm standing on a picnic table being like, and she gave me gonorrhea and you guys caused it because you're the ones that made her the way she is. And then it's like, hello? Oh, is it false positive? Okay, this is awkward.
This went badly. I didn't see anything this way.
Okay.
And how much time are you, just last week you sold it? Was it?
It's been like a process. Like, this has been going on since when I did last Comic Standing. I had the meeting with them. Mm-hmm. So it's been like a process since the middle of April.
Oh, okay.
That we've been doing this. And so, yeah, it's... Yeah,
you're speechless.
I don't have words.
You have no words. Well, and speaking of Last Comic Standing, have you? Do you watch any of it?
I was on it. I don't watch it.
You don't watch it.
Like, that sounds terrible. I can't.
Like, I have very good friends. Jimmy Schubert and Rocky Laporte are both on, and I have not. It's so weird. I just can't watch it. You've been on. I haven't watched it.
Yeah, I can't. It's just. I didn't make it through. I can now tell people. Last time I was here, I don't think I could
tell people. Yes, you could not tell us.
I was in contract with Viacom, and then they had said to me, hey, it'd be great if you could get out of your Viacom contract because if you make it to the finals, you have an exclusivity deal with NBC. And so I said, well, I'm not quitting the show that I've on, and I had been on for 3 seasons to do a reality show for a month. Like, you just can't do that.
Mm-mm. And for exclusivity, that means that you just can't work for anybody else.
You can't work for anybody else.
No guarantee that you get something at NBC.
Yeah. And NBC is the worst network to sign an exclusivity contract because they don't have a farm system. Like people probably don't know that. I was on a Viacom show, right?
Okay.
So Viacom is CBS, and CBS is super smart in that they have like Comedy Central, VH1, MTV, like I think the CW or one of those, TBS, like all these. I don't know if TBS is
well as a studio. They work with all those networks.
They work with all those networks, and basically all those networks are the AA, AAA, and single A teams of their farm system. That they're farming their entertainment so that by the time these people get on CBS, they're amazing and they're smart. NBC has Bravo. That's
you're
what
so
they
angry
have.
At, don't they have? I thought they had like USA Network. No.
Yeah. Sort
yeah. There's
of.
Nothing
I mean,
for comedians.
What is that?
Right, no.
What are you gonna get cast in A Few Good Men? That's gonna air every night of the week ever. Like they. How many times has USA Network just played A Few Good Men?
Quite a few times.
And.
Well, my favorite show was Psych that just ended.
That was a really good show.
But that's, yeah, you're right. I mean, they don't, and plus they're not, the shows on those other networks that you were talking about, we all know them, you know, whereas on USA, kind of, yeah, you're right, series kind of go there to just sort of linger.
Yeah, I don't, and so I'm, so anyway, so yeah, I turned NBC down and then I didn't make it past that first round. So I knew that I was going to get limited exposure on it. I knew that because I didn't play their game. And
right.
And then after I said that to them, that I wouldn't quit my show, 8 days later, my show was canceled.
Only now it looks like it might be coming back. So
now it might be
best
coming
week
back,
ever.
And there's a really great thing on the horizon.
And you already have a show that's in development at Paramount.
At Paramount.
Yeah.
And so, but yeah.
You made the right choice.
And on top of that, I'm a comedian and I slept till noon today and it's awesome.
Which is what? Both what?
It makes sleeping till noon makes you feel like both a winner and a loser at the same time.
That's Pete Lee, both a winner and a loser. I'm hanging out in studio with the one of my favorite comedians. I was going to say the Pete Lee because that's your tweet handle.
Yeah.
Pete Lee Tweets.
Pete Lee Tweets.
Oh, I should turn your microphone on. Could you? Yeah.
Pete Lee Tweets is my Twitter handle.
Mine's the Patty Vasquez on Instagram.
But I thought that it was funny when you're the Pete Lee.
The Pete Lee.
That sounds like we're like a Spanish like soccer like the Pete Lee.
The Pete Lee.
I don't know.
Do you have Pete Lee tweets because you lost out on Pete Lee?
Yeah, there's like this dude that I think the last time that he tweeted was November of 2012, he has at Pete Lee. I kind of like Pete Lee tweets because it's cute. I say it on stage, but it sounds like the horn of a moped. It's like Pete Lee tweets.
That is adorable.
That's adorable.
That's adorable. Yeah, I lost out on my Twitter handle to a 7-year-old girl in California. Yeah, so mine's CHI.
She's like tweeting pictures of her stupid art.
Mm-hmm. Like her kitty backpack or something. Yeah. It's just wrong.
Yeah. These are my friends. They don't have teeth.
Now, you do a really good job of staying on top of tweeting jokes. Do you make yourself have a certain number of jokes that you need to do every day?
I try it. Like, I always say that you got to do one. Like,
you got to do
like,
one
you
gotta joke.
You got to do one joke a day, and then it ends up being, like, all day. And, like, if you ever want to know if a comedian is lonely, he's tweeting jokes all day. Like, like, but if I'm, like, with people and I'm happy and, like so the less happy I am, the more I'm tweeting. Just like a travel day, I'll be tweeting all day long. Or like if I'm writing and I come up with something, I'll be like, oh, I'll try this out on Twitter.
Right.
But yeah, I like that.
I agree. That's one of the things. Like, by the way, I need to hook you up with, there's a greeting card company. Did they ever talk to you about writing for Frank and Funny?
David Crow.
Yeah. Did you ever do any of those?
I submitted a bunch of stuff to him a while back, and he was like, these are not right. And then, yeah,
you'd be perfect for that.
That's what I thought.
I think actually your the one about waking up at noon would be good. Would be a funny
one.
That'd
be a good one. Kind
of, that's the kind of one-liners. Like mine, I have the number one selling one on Frank.
What is yours? What is your Frank?
Mine is the creator of Spanx is a billionaire. And on the inside it says, of course she is, because bacon and donuts are delicious.
That's amazing.
You know what's crazy about that joke? Never works on stage. It's more of a ha-ha, you know, sort of a, it's a chuckle.
Really?
Yeah, never does well.
But it's so funny when you... Wow.
When you read it, apparently. I think because it's a truism, it works on a card. So truism, that's why your noon joke is the truisms of the ones that people identify with and are both kind of self-deprecating.
Yeah.
Not poking fun at anyone.
Yeah, maybe I will go. Maybe
go
I'll,
at it again.
I'll do a tweet harvest and then I'll send him some stuff. I had a tweet about my wife said this. Because my wife's a giant drinker. Oh, you're going to spit out your water. She's a giant, giant like fun party drinker.
Okay.
And like she doesn't drink like a woo girl or like a party girl. Like she drinks like your friend Frank, you know, like like she's like Frank the Tank. Like she'll show up with a 12-pack and people are like, oh, that's great that you bought beer for us. And she's like, that's mine.
Oh,
like,
man,
it's her 12-pack. And she's just this little petite gorgeous thing that just slams beers. And so we were out the other night and after belching, so she belches, it's like, blah, and she goes, ah, I think I just drank myself up a Spanx size.
Oh, no.
She said. I was like, that's the funniest thing I've ever heard. She drank herself into a new size of Spanx.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. Now, I've seen pictures of you guys on Facebook, though. You're running and working out and biking and stuff.
Yeah. I mean, like,
is she sweating off the alcohol? Is that what she's doing?
Yeah. Like, yeah. You remember how, like, Sinatra, they'd go, like, for a steam the next day just to, like, feel normal and, like, sweat out the alcohol? Like, she goes running, and so I go with her. And I don't drink anymore because I felt like my liver was going to fall out like a muffler off of an old car. Have you ever seen one of those sparking down
just
the highway?
Dragging, uh-huh.
That was what my liver was doing after 6 years of this. I mean, it was 6 years of, like, five or six nights of drinking a week heavily with her that I was like, I can't do this.
It's a way of life for her.
It's a way of life.
Where is she from?
Pennsylvania.
Okay.
And
because you're from Wisconsin, I could understand, right?
Yeah, and Wisconsin's a giant drinking place. And now I go home to my friends, and they're like, "Why are you drinking, you Sally?" And I'm like, "Cause of her.
Like, cause she's doing it for
me. Ruined this for me, and I just can't do it anymore. And I would love to. I would love to be able to drink. But she just.
What's her drink of choice? Beer.
She loves beer. I'd say it's mostly beer and then Sauvignon Blanc. Like she loves.
Oh, nice. That's a nice range. Yeah,
she calls it Savvy B.
Savvy B.
She'll be like, get me some Savvy B.
No, I don't think, like, when you think of a hard drinker, you would think of someone drinking, like, hard liquor and, like, drinking shots and things like that. But, like, I mean, like, how many beers can she have, you know?
Yeah, like 12 in a setting.
That's a lot.
Yeah, she's just, like... She's the kind that, like, will come home on a Friday night, like, and, like, she's still drinking the beer that she had at the bar. Like, she'll just come in, like come in.
Is it open alcohol in New York?
No.
Oh, okay.
Oh, no. Okay. She's just, like, she'll stop at the bar that's, like, our corner bar. And I love her, and I just accept this. Like, I just know that this is her. Imagine if Jennifer Aniston had the personality of Homer Simpson. Like, okay. That's what my wife is.
That's hot.
And so she comes home holding the pint glass with the logo from the bar. And
you have a collection now.
Yeah, and we have a collection, but we live in New York. We live in a 500-square-foot apartment. So now I just collect the glasses, like, and I'll just, like, bring them back to the bar and be like, hey, you know, you know how Jamie just walked? And they're like, we saw her walk out. We know that you bring them back.
Oh,
and,
my.
What a nice system you have.
Yeah.
They let Jamie leave. Pete will bring him back. Clean, yeah. I'm guessing, too.
Yeah, oh, yeah, I clean him and I bring him back. And, yeah, but it's just, she's just a comically, she's like drunk. I don't know. Like, and I've had friends, like all of our friends have been like, you know, you need to really talk to her because this could become a serious thing and blah, 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 blah. And like, I'm like, no, this is just her. And like, she doesn't change me like with anything that she doesn't make me quit my comedy. She doesn't make me do any, like, I'm like, no, this is Jamie's a drunk and it's fine.
Wow. Craig is really enjoying this comment. Like, he can't stop laughing that you're talking about your wife being a big drunk.
Yeah.
Drunky pants.
Yeah. I'm not trying to do bits or anything like that.
You're telling the truth.
No, I love the idea that his wife, it looks like Jennifer Aniston, but has a personality of Homer Simpson. Does she like donuts too a lot or something?
She loves donuts. Yeah, she loves donuts. There was a time, every once in a while she'll do a real thing that your college roommate would do. I have a bit about how one time she was putting Pop-Tarts in our VCR. She was just so drunk that she was just num, 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 num,
feeding the VCR Pop-Tarts?
Yeah, and that was at a time where I was also really drunk too with her back before I quit drinking. One time I remember we were just eating yogurt. We didn't have any good drunk food and she's eating yogurt and she's put some in her hands and she's looking at them and then she just takes them on our flat screen TV and just goes and then just spreads it around. And I was
she's giving the television a facial.
Yeah. And luckily it came off of the TV and I Windexed it and it was all fine. Uh-huh. But that's the kind of stuff people are like, oh, your wife's going to do something terrible when she's drunk. And I'm like, yeah, she's going to put yogurt on our TV screen.
That's the nutty stuff that she does.
Yeah.
So she's not a loud, belligerent drunk. She's not out starting fights and getting in arguments with people.
She's not a mean drunk. She's not a cheating drunk.
Sounds
she's
a silly drunk.
She's a silly putting yogurt on. Like she's a toddler, basically.
Just regresses. I love that.
How much time do we have?
You have 2 minutes.
2 minutes? I'll tell you a story real quick. So when the first week that we met, this is the story of how I knew that I wanted to marry my wife. So we are in Philadelphia and we get home from the bar and we're both just hammered, right? And she's like, what do you want to do now? And I was like, have sex. And she's like, order cheesesteaks. And I was like, we could do both. we could do both. And so we basically start the sexy time and then the cheesesteaks come. And of course, I'm so drunk that I answer the door naked with a $20 bill in my hand.
Sure,
Yeah. And the delivery guy, I was like, how much? And he's like, $20. Snap. You know, just cha-cha. Here you go.
He doesn't want to see you turn around either.
So we start eating cheesesteaks in the bed. We pile up the pillows. And then I see her starting to pass out. And then she does this great thing where she just puts the cheesesteak on her boob and then falls asleep, you know? And I was like, that's a great idea. So we both did that. So I wake up so hungover, screaming hangover, 7 in the morning, and I'm looking over at her, and I'm like, oh, and her eyes flutter awake. Of course, she's a drunk. She doesn't have a hangover. She kind of looks at me, looks down at the cheesesteak, and then just picks up the cheesesteak and goes, and just starts eating. She finishes the cheesesteak.
And that's how you knew you wanted to marry her?
Yeah, I was like, this girl's awesome. I'm marrying her.
Pete Lee, cheesesteaks, and sex.
And sex.
It's getting messy with Pete Lee. This is Patty Vasquez, and you are listening to Pretty Late on 720 WGN. Joining me in studio is comedian Pete Lee. He's riding shotgun as my co-host this evening.
I am riding shotgun.
You're riding shotgun. We cover a lot of topics on my show, Pete. We do comedy. We do music, stories in the news. And one of the things that we like to make sure we cover are major stories in the city of Chicago. And I grew up here. I've lived here my entire life. I've never lived outside of the state of Illinois.
Never
lived anywhere else. I actually went grade school through high school through the Chicago public school system at a time when there were a lot of strikes, and there's always been a lot of strain, I would say, in the public school system. And we have on the line with us to talk about what's going on now with the budget and the mayor's role with that is Dr. Klonsky. He is he's a teacher in the College of Education at the DePaul University, and he's an educator who has spoken and written extensively on school reform issues with a focus on urban school restructuring. Hi, doctor. How are you doing this morning?
I'm fine, Patty. How are you?
I'm good. I want to know, you've written that the budget that was voted on is another reason to get rid of mayoral control of the schools. What's going on?
Well, this latest budget is a disaster for the public schools, and especially for a lot of the students who have special needs and disabilities.
Mm-hmm.
The new budget takes millions of dollars away from neighborhood schools and diverts them to privately managed charter schools. And if this budget is implemented, it's going to cause tremendous problems for parents and kids with special needs.
Well, as a matter of fact, I have a son. Both of my children go to Chicago Public Schools, and one of them is in a program what's called the Options Program. I'm not sure if you're familiar with that.
I am familiar with it, yes.
And he's doing very well in his school. On the other hand, my son Declan goes to a school that is only for children with disabilities. Predominantly, they have a neighborhood program as well. But it's a school where the children have severe learning disabilities and predominantly autism. And they age out at 9 years old. And I had a meeting just today. And I have to tell you, it was my son was there. Both of my sons were there. And I don't know if you've ever watched Harry Potter movies, but my son Griffin said that she was like it's Dr. Winston. Are you familiar with her?
Yes, I am.
She was so you thought you were going to get something. Like, we felt like we were going to move the ball down the field. And she was smiling and she seemed very gracious. And then she kind of like at the end of the meeting, I felt like she was saying, suck it. Do you know what I mean?
Wow. Wait, does age out and doctor, this is Pete Lee, by the way.
Pete Lee, yes.
And I'm a comedian. So if I say anything that sounds not serious, I'm not a jerk. I'm just that's how I do. But anyway, so age out means that like at nine,
they're done. They're gone. And I told her, I said, how can you invest the kind of resources and talent that you have from pre-K to 9 years old and then just scatter us to the wind? Because there's no continuing program like that. So you're saying this, it's not going to get any better for students like my son.
Well, not as long as we have the, the priorities in the public school system that we have. And, the budget is a way to determine what the priorities are. We have a mayor. We have a mayoral control system in Chicago. In other words, the mayor, Rahm Emanuel, handpicks the school board. We don't have an elected school board. We're the only district in Illinois that doesn't have an elected school board. We have mayoral control here. And so the public school system actually becomes a wing of City Hall. And we're kind of subject to the priorities and the political decisions that are necessary to support the aims and objectives of the mayor and the mayor's and right now the mayor's upcoming political campaign. And so I'm looking at this school budget and thinking, wow, what's most important to Rahm Emanuel and his school board? And the school board votes exactly the way Rahm Emanuel tells them to do. And in this case, they passed a school budget that many of the school board members even admit is a kind of a smoke and mirrors school budget. It takes money from next year's, from the 2015 school year and uses it to fund or to budget in $5.8 billion in funding.
Wow.
And what happens is, even though that's going to put the school system even further in debt next year and could cause even a more, deeper crisis. So there's two reasons why I'm really upset about this budget. One is the fact that it's a smoke and mirrors budget. And two is that it puts political priorities ahead of the needs of our kids, and especially the neediest of our kids, the kids with special needs, with disabilities, kids who don't speak English language or English language learners, all these things, all these programs are being cut. And while charter schools, privately managed charter schools, which aren't required to take those students, they're getting the lion's share of the budget.
And what is the motivation to funneling so much money to charter schools? Is that all the political power that it enhances for Rahm Emanuel?
Well, this is the strategy now of what's called school reform. I call it corporate style school reform. It really reflects a vision of education that the mayor and his backers have for the city. What's happened is that they're making massive cuts in neighborhood schools and putting more and more money into privately managed charter schools and selective enrollment schools as a way to attract
the best,
the new middle class back into the city.
Mm-hmm.
And they're pushing out, we're pushing out lots of poor folks and especially African Americans out of the city. In the last decade, Chicago has lost nearly 250,000 of its African-American residents.
They're fleeing the state.
I had to go to a private school for a little while when I was bad in school, and my mom shipped me off to St. Paul's.
Nice.
And luckily I got out of St. Paul's in less than a year, and I got back to regular school where my friends were. But, St. Paul's was really expensive, and it was a private school, and I didn't understand. I thought that private schools meant
your parents paid for it.
Yeah, your parents paid for it, and not the government paying for a private school. Like, that's the opposite of a private school.
Yes. Well, now we have public schools that act like private schools that are private schools, but funded and financed by public dollars. In other words, you and I are paying for what amounts to the schools for the selective few. And so it's quite a hustle now.
That sounds like, you know, FedEx being like, but we're FedEx, but the government, we need money from the government because we're FedEx.
Even though we're not the post office.
Yeah, and UPS too. We need it too. And then, and the other guy. Yeah, that seems really, I don't like that. I'm not a doctor, and I don't know anything about government, but I'm like, I don't like that.
Yeah, Dr. Klonsky, Pete is from New York, and he was Googling to see what kind of education system they had there. It feels like we're so far into this. We're so behind the eight ball. I mean, what kind of chances do we have for fixing this?
Well, it's interesting. In New York, they recently had the mayoral election, mm-hmm. and Mayor de Blasio was elected largely on the basis of shifting priorities away from these privately managed charter schools back to sinking resources back into the public school system and trying to save the public school system and improve the public school system in New York.
Yeah.
And he's run into tremendous resistance from these corporate style reformers who for various reasons, which I can go into, favor the privatization of public, not only public schools, but all public space.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Yeah, it's very well documented in New York that Mayor Bloomberg was just, I don't know if people were lining his pockets because his pockets didn't need to be lined. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, his he just was basically just doing everything for his rich friends.
They were rubbing his pockets, maybe.
Yeah, they're rubbing his pockets. Maybe he got back rubs. I don't know what it was, but he was just helping his rich friends the whole time that he was in office. And in the education system, I mean, if you go to New York, Times Square is great. The city looks cleaner than it used to mm-hmm. look. But the children were just failing in school. I mean, and you would see that out. You know, like I remember going to Dunkin' Donuts, and there was this teenager waiting on me. Teenager didn't know math and was working at a cash register.
Wow.
And you're just like, how is this even possible that you're the age where you know math and you don't know how to give me my change? I don't even understand this.
And doctor, what kind of success do you think they'll have in New York? Have they seen any improvement, or how recently was that done?
Well, it's pretty recent. I mean, this is... And it's still a big battle. I mean, electing a mayor, electing a progressive mayor is one thing, but you still have the same powerful forces, for example, the one percenters on Wall Street that, still have the power. Electing a mayor is not going to be enough to change that. So de Blasio in New York has his hands full. Here in Chicago, we're having an election next year, and a lot of these education issues are at the center, going to be at the heart of this campaign, especially if the president of the Chicago Teachers Union, Karen Lewis, runs for mayor. And others, too, are lined up to take on Rahm Emanuel. And so one of the things that I thought was most interesting today in today's press is that Walter Jacobson over there where you are at WPN mm-hmm. Was raising a lot of fuss about the fact that our mayor, despite the financial difficulties facing Chicago Public Schools, has hired a whole bunch of new press secretaries as a way of dealing with the current fiscal crisis.
That seems like a weird way. Rather than fixing things, they just want to change the way it appears.
Yeah, we're going to make it all slick.
Wow.
And that's what you saw in New York under Mayor Bloomberg, because Mayor Bloomberg, aside from being having deep pockets, like you say, he also was a media mogul. He's one of these guys who controls the media.
Yeah.
Not only in New York, but all over. So
yeah.
So what happens when you have a mayor controlling the school system, a lot of resources are put into making him look good politically.
Right.
And that's what we're seeing here in Chicago. We have a mayor who's
a master of appearance.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. And we're getting all this spin. But yet, despite that, the fact that there's, you know, the press office at City Hall and at Chicago Public Schools, there's not even enough room for the desks anymore. the mayor's popularity is declining. And I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that he's been closing neighborhood public schools. He closed 50 of them this year. And parents are outraged, and yet
there are schools on the north side that are building on additions.
Wow!
And including one of my son's school. I mean, like beautiful, state of the art, brand new buildings.
Wow! Exactly. And that comes from that budget.
Well, it comes from their TIFs, and that's like a separate thing that like the wards get to have like this sort of tax fund. Hold on,
we got a quick text from the 630. The teachers' union is sucking all the money away from the children's education. The amount that teachers are paid is insane for working 8 months out of the year.
What do you say to that, Doctor?
Well, that's ridiculous. I mean, first of all, teachers don't work 8 months out of the year. I've got two daughters who are teachers. I can tell you, in the Chicago Public Schools, they work all year long.
Mm-hmm.
Now longer school hours than ever, you know, because the mayor has implemented a longer school day with no funding to back it up. And as far as teachers getting rich, I mean,
yeah, no.
whoever tweeted that or texted that, that probably doesn't know any teachers or has never taught.
Yeah,
right.
I've never been passed by a Maserati on the highway and been like, teachers. Man.
Well, and they end up using a lot of their own resources in order to get to make their dollars stretch in the classroom to get things done.
Yeah.
That's what my daughters do. I can tell you that right now. I mean, my daughters spend a lot of their money on not only on resources for the kids, you know, for supplies and things like that, but a lot of times these kids are coming to school hungry or with no transportation money or things like that, and the teachers are often going into pocket for that. I was up until this year, I was a basketball coach at a Chicago high school, and a lot of times I had to come out of pocket just because kids didn't have a way to get home after practice or things like that. The idea that teachers are getting rich and that
he almost swallowed his tongue thinking about it.
Yeah, that was really funny.
Doctor, I'd love to keep talking to you, but we are running short on time. I wanted to ask you when you're back, are you coming back to Chicago soon?
Yeah, I'll be back Monday. I'm on vacation right now. Actually, I'm up in the thin air of the Rocky Mountains right now. I'm talking to you from Steamboat Springs.
Nice.
I love Steamboat.
Yeah. Have you gone to the Natural Springs?
Yes, I did. Oh. I went there last night.
It's fabulous.
Wow.
Yeah, it really was. And so I'm trying to get this pain in my neck fixed up, you know, by soaking it in those natural springs. And mm-hmm. It was wonderful. But anyway, I'm still trying to follow the situation back home, and that's really giving me a pain in the neck.
I know. My left shoulder is all the way up to my ear. I'm so stressed. Yeah. I literally had an hour meeting with Dr. Winston today, and it just was – it was very disheartening.
I wish you good luck on that. I have a grandson who's a public school student in Chicago who has disabilities, and it's a constant struggle for parents and grandparents and people like yourself. You know, we have to fight for every ounce of space we can get in the public schools, and it's unfortunate that it's that way. But it's a direct result of the wrong priorities that are set now. Yeah.
Because, and I'll say this before we go, the thing about making sure that children with disabilities get as many resources and attention early in life, you know, reduces the possibility, you know, maybe not eliminates, but it gives them more ability to reach their potential and hopefully be less of a, and I don't, someone got upset when I said be a burden on society, but if you don't help them as much as you can early in life, you will spend more on their care later in life.
Yeah.
Well, yes, we've got to get rid of this two-tier school system, you know, where we have great schools and programs for the few and kind of warehouses for kids,
right,
for the many.
And I benefit on one hand with my older son's school, amazing school. And with Declan, it's like, good luck with that.
You know, I know he doesn't talk, and I know he only has the intellectual ability of a 2-year-old. But, you know, we're going to go shove him in this classroom in the middle of a big school. We'll see how that goes.
It shows that we know how to do it right. You know, it's not a big mystery.
No, not at all.
It's a matter of our will and our priorities and our commitment.
I lied to you, doctor. I said we were going to go, but we have a caller who wanted to join the conversation very, very, very quickly. Hey, oh, no, I hung up on the doctor. Oh, no.
Doctor, will you call back?
I'm here.
No, you're not the doctor. I hung up on Dr. Klonsky. Here, let me, I'm sorry about that, Craig. Hey, Paul, what did you want to say?
Well, essentially, teachers do work 8 months out of the year, and they're overpaid. They make, on average, $71,250 a year. And 8 months out of the year, if you include spring break, holiday break, all the holidays that they're off, which is, and then teachers, these special teachers' day, they work 8 months out of the year.
Yeah. Let our silence be your answer. Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Paul. Yeah, I don't. That's Dr. One second. Let me put Dr. Klonsky. I apologize for hanging up on you. If I push one button, I hang up on somebody else, and I didn't lock it.
I thought you were mad at me for something.
No, it was the caller wanted to call and say that they make $70,000 a year, and they do only work 8 months out of the year plus all the holidays. I think we covered it and how much teachers put their time in. Their school. They don't have an 8-hour school day. Their work doesn't end Monday through Friday.
And
it doesn't, and in the summertime it doesn't end.
How many people have to grade papers and do all the things the teachers do, lesson planning? There's so many things that you do in those 8 months when you're teaching children. And then the other 4 months when maybe people are insinuating that they're not working, you're planning and creating everything you do for a year.
Have you ever walked into a classroom of 30 third graders? Whatever they're getting.
kill me.
We have to remember that the teachers, they're the people that we entrust our kids to.
Right.
I think, and I'm kind of biased, I admit, but I think teachers ought to be paid like professional athletes and vice versa.
Right.
The teachers in countries where the school systems are really performing at the highest levels, like in Finland, for example, teachers are valued ahead of almost everybody else, and only the best and the brightest become public school teachers and are allowed to become public school teachers. If we want to attract the best people, the smartest people, especially to our neediest schools, we should be paying teachers much more instead of trying, right now we're trying to take away collective bargaining rights of teachers. We're taking away their pension funds when they retire, and we're turning teachers into delivery clerks, basically, who are just delivering a prepackaged curriculum.
Right.
That's not very attractive. That's not going to attract my students, especially to the neediest schools. I'm teaching at DePaul. I'm teaching, kids who want to become teachers. And I'm trying to sell them on the idea that teaching is a great profession to enter. And when they see these attacks on teachers, the debasing of teachers, like your previous caller did, it makes them want to do something else, go to law school. So that's the problem.
And they're also highly educated, highly intelligent people that could be doing something else. And when he actually said that, I remember thinking for a second, I was like, $71,000 is a lot of money. But then I thought, that's not the net.
Mm-hmm.
That's 71,000 gross. So they're taking home $48,000 probably, after taxes. And then also they have to live on that in Chicago.
Right.
And I understand that there are people living on.
I got to go because we've missed all of my breaks by talking to Dr. Klonsky.
Oh,
that's
man.
How much
Wait,
we were.
I just singled for you to break, but I do want to read one more text. I know it's terrible. I'm doing it now, too. Patty, thank you so much for having Dr. Klonsky on tonight. Such an important discussion. And as a public school teacher, thank you for shutting down the teachers only work 8 months a year guy.
There you go. I know. We did that. Dr. Klonsky, go enjoy the natural springs. Fix that neck. And then we'll talk to you soon and have you in studio.
It's a pleasure. Thanks for having me. Bye.
Of course. Thank you.
He's
Bye-bye.
Out on vacation like a rich teacher.
No.
Hey, watch me switch gears, comedian Pete Lee. Comedian, I'm going to say the Pete Lee.
Patty, before we switch gears, can I hit a couple texts real
quick? Oh, please hit a couple texts.
Or maybe just
maybe
at least
I won't
one.
Switch gears. I'll put the gear somewhere else.
Right. Well, yeah. You can switch in a second. We text flooded in at the end of that conversation. I wish they had texted in sooner, but the majority of these people are teachers, apparently, one of which is lesson planning right now for next year. And she said, good evening. I'm a student teacher and I'm lesson planning right now. And it needs to be understood that teachers no longer get the money that they get during the summer. We work more than 8 months a year, et cetera, et cetera. And thank you so much for chastising the person that called in and said we don't. We are underpaid and overworked for sure.
Yeah.
But a lot more of those, including the one texter saying more negative things. But yeah, a lot of teachers apparently listen to the show.
There you go.
Yeah,
like
you know what that sounds like?
What's that sound like?
That sounds like a teacher texting from their ultra $700 iPhone that they bought because they're a rich teacher.
You know what happens? There's a story that will come up where somebody like got like double pensions or whatever padded, or they became part of administration and they retired with a huge, you know, retirement plan. And then that's a story that dominates somebody's mind, you know, or they knew somebody that for whatever reason was in a school district that paid higher.
Yeah.
But that's not what it's like in the city of Chicago and for most of the area.
And so. At the end of the day, they have to teach in Chicago. Right? that's a really hard day of work. And like, if you ask me,
here's what they'll tell you: they choose to do that job. That's what they'll tell you next. That's their choice. They could do something else. They could make a lot of money at a hedge fund. No one's making them teach. I'm playing devil's advocate.
Yeah, but that's exactly why a lot of people don't want to teach in Chicago, and then you don't get the best talent, and then the kids are dumb, and then your kids are dumb. Okay, how about that?
You can laugh on the air. You're
right. Like that's...
I know I can laugh on the air, but I like that. Then your kids are dumb.
Your kids are dumb.
Let's invest more money in these teachers so our kids aren't stupid.
He's right, though. I mean, I know teachers because I substitute teach in the suburbs, and I know teachers who will say that new teachers only go to Chicago if they have to. They will try to find a job anywhere else, even in much lower paying parochial schools in the suburbs, than go into the city. They don't want to.
No. I may have to move if we can't get the right kind of programs for Declan, which is not fair to Griffin, who is in a school that is doing very well.
Yeah.
So I don't really know how to explain what a TIF is. I was saying that some schools are really nice schools on the Northwest side.
Yeah.
Like Wildwood and Edgebrook and Bell and Coonley, neighborhoods that have assets and they have parents that can rally. I was telling the head of the special needs programs today, Dr. Winston, that, you know, the parents of children with disabilities are stretched thin. We can't mobilize the same way other parents can. And not all parents in those neighborhoods necessarily do either. And for neighborhoods like Englewood and where there's the most violence, you know, those parents are economically strapped and it's hard for them to mobilize.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, they're like not like we're like you and I are like, oh, man, I'm so broke. I couldn't afford to go to Soldier Field and go to the Beyonce Jay-Z concert tonight. But like these people like are the ones that I see in the subway. They're like, can you swipe me in, please, with my kids? Can you swipe me in? Like, it's gonna be $10 worth of swipes, but can you do that? And I'm like, yeah, I'll do that because I tell jokes for a living and somehow I have money and
now
I will swipe you in.
Right.
And like it's, I don't know.
Oh, here we go. Someone wants to chime in on the conversation about teachers' pay. And this is Bob. Hey, Bob, what's up?
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Not bad for a young guy. My wife is a teacher's assistant, and they can take their pay, and she doesn't get paid a lot, not by no means. And she takes the harder core children who are having difficulty being mainstreamed, and she tries to bring them up to that level. And I think that she should be paid more, but it's just not going to happen.
Right.
But teachers where we live get paid very well, and I live in Naperville. And obviously, when you live in a more affluent area, that we can afford that because of our tax base. I would probably say 75 to 80% of our real estate taxes go for our school system.
Wow.
And where I live in School District 204, and we have three high schools. Just high schools. That's not including the middle schools, the elementary schools, and everything else. Most high schools are in excess of $130, $140 million apiece. But that's just where we live.
Right.
But, and you know, most of the teachers that I know through my wife, a lot of them, they don't complain. They don't whine. They do work, but they also draw their pay throughout the whole year. They just don't get paid for 9 months.
Right.
You're drawing your pay every other week. And I would probably say 99% of them enjoy being off the whole summer.
Sure.
But that 2 weeks prior to going back to school, yes, they're having to turn back into teaching mode and having to do their lesson plans and everything else. And there is a lot of preparation, don't get me wrong. And it is hard work, but that's the path they chose.
Exactly. That's the path they chose.
The path they chose, sure.
I have friends that was the path they chose. And you know what the other path they chose is? They drink a lot because it's really hard. It's really hard for them.
I'm getting from Bob's laughter that perhaps there's some that enjoy that in Naperville as well.
Yeah. I bet.
A lot of them do drink, believe me. I've been to some of the parties.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wouldn't that be great if the person that invented beer was a teacher?
Quite possible. All right, thanks, Bob. We're going to talk to Doug right now, who wanted to join the conversation. Hey, Doug, what's up?
Good morning.
Good morning.
I was just wondering, I don't think teachers get paid too much. I think they don't get paid enough because it seems today, just like in law enforcement, people think that teachers need to raise their kids when they're away from home. Mm-hmm. I've heard arguments for and against. I actually would wish it would have been this way when I went to school. What do you think of year-round schooling the way the UK does it?
I've gone back and forth on this. You know, obviously you want to be able to spend time, whether it's going on vacation or visiting family. I mean, what they do for year-round school, because they did that with some schools in Chicago. There was a track. I think it was like track E because Declan was on that. And it was really weird because the problem with that was they didn't do it school-wide for Chicago. They had some schools that were on this track. So if you had one child that was on that and then not year-round like Griffin, there was no way for us to plan vacations. Now, that being said, I think that if the whole school was on your own, I think that would work. You have like, there's like 2-3 week breaks. I don't know. It's hard to say, but they ain't going to do it. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, I think it would be good. I mean, like you said, if everybody was on that system, you would have the times when you know you have your break and you take your vacations and holidays then.
Right, right. I think that part of it makes me think that part of it is that people just like, they don't like that big of a change. Like we all grew up with a summer break. So we still want our kids to have a summer break. I got an argument with a mom who was saying, you know, the summer is for kids to be kids,
yeah.
You know, and she was like, you know, childhood, we end childhood, you know, earlier and earlier these days, you know,
sure.
Having summer off doesn't increase childhood. I don't think.
Yeah.
I mean, I enjoyed the summer break and all that stuff, but it's funny, people are resistant to big change and they don't want to take away the summer break, but yet they're totally complacent with the dumbing of America.
Exactly. I mean, we're falling farther behind. We just are. That's a fact.
Yeah, America is getting dumb. I perform at colleges, and I even in the 9 years that I've been doing colleges, I can't believe that I go to college campuses, mm-hmm. and these kids are so dumb.
Yeah.
They took a test, and they got into college, and I'm like,
You should see the writing of college students. The writing is abysmal. Abysmal.
I'm in law enforcement, and I've taken statements from teenagers. Okay, we're talking anywhere from 13, 14 years of age, up to 18, even 20-year-olds, and they write out their statement as if they're doing abbreviation when they're texting.
Oh, not good. Not good.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for being in law enforcement.
Yes.
That's really great.
Yes.
Yes, thank you very much.
Thank you for what you do. You help keep me awake at night.
Oh, well, there you go. We'll keep doing it. Thank you. We'll talk to Kevin, who wanted to join the conversation. What's going on, Kevin?
Hey, I just chiming in on what a lot of these teachers are saying right now. I teach in one of the poorest neighborhoods in the United States, and it'd be nice if I made income for the work that I deal with that wouldn't have me living in my parents' basement.
Wow.
So, yeah, so they give that number of $71,000, but, like, at the front end of that, like, you're nowhere near that, right?
I take home about $21,000 a year.
Wow.
You rich person.
Yes.
You,
I know. It's
you
terrible.
You sound rich.
Pete's going to yell at you with your Maserati coming blowing past
you. Yeah.
It.
That you like sort of to deal with. I mean, that sounds bad to deal with, but like you're really dealing with.
I love what I do. I mean, it's all behavior and emotional disorder kids. I'm a special ed teacher, but my goodness. I mean, you get hit, you get screamed at, you hear things left and right that just get under your skin and got to put up with it.
Yeah, no.
Well, I don't know how you special needs teachers do it. I frankly, it amazes me. I can't even fathom having to be in the class for a day, much less a year. It's really stunning. Congratulations.
Yeah, I'm ready to write a book and cash in on that one at this point.
What kind of things would you put in there?
Oh my goodness! First of all, at the alternative school I student taught at, long story short, the girl that wasn't feeling very well one day in class had a 4-foot boa constrictor wrapped around her waist.
What? How did that even happen?
She kept complaining, I don't feel good, I want to go to the nurse. And it's like, well, first of all, you don't feel well. And finally sent to the nurse, and she says, well, you look fine. And she goes, maybe it's my snake, and lifts up her hoodie and has a 4-foot snake wrapped around her.
Oh, my God. Okay.
And as a human being, do you pinch yourself? Are you like, am I dreaming right now?
Did I drop
acid?
Pretty
surreal.
Yeah.
I mean, between that and then having a room with nonverbal students, and then I have a kid ready to throw a desk at me.
As a mother of a child with special needs, one who is nonverbal, actually, we like to say pre-verbal, just because we keep working toward him being able to talk. I thank you so much for the work that you are doing. I know it's not easy. Look, I was talking. This is another thing. I was talking to the head of, I guess they call it diverse learners. I'm not sure what the city of Chicago says, but Dr. Winston. I was telling her that Declan, and this is going to be gross to a lot of people, but this is a fact, and maybe a lot of people don't know this kind of stuff. Declan is at the point where he still does not understand going to the bathroom. He still has to wear a diaper. And when he does soil himself, he will reach in there and play with it. And that's the kind of thing these teachers deal with.
Oh, wow.
Because it's like clay to them. Yeah, no, ask him.
God bless my teacher's aide, because she's paid less than I am, and she's the one that has to...
Right.
Check out the bathroom on some of these kids.
Yeah, Todd, Kevin, tell people that you have no idea just how, like a 2-year-old Pete would play with their poop.
Yeah.
And that's what, some children with autism, it's the texture, it's the curiosity. Yeah, it's
Imagine room of 15 to 18-year-olds where you just kind of want to shake them like, really? Like, come on.
Yeah.
Like some of these things that's my high-functioning kids, my behavioral disorder kids, it's like, really? Did you think that was a good idea before you did this?
Yeah.
Is there ever a point where, because here's the thing, I hear about that, and a part of me goes, wow, that's really terrible. And then another part of me that thinks, if you don't know that that's bad, and you have no negative recourse in your brain, like, throwing it would be really fun.
Yeah, Declan will take it, smear it all over the place. He'll try to taste it. He does everything. It's
All of that has to be a blast for them. It has to actually feel pretty good. Probably getting reprimanded for it doesn't feel good.
Oh, he doesn't get, there's a lot of screaming, obviously, your natural reaction to a child playing with their fecal matter is stressful, so your voice gets very loud,
we don't
punish him for it, because in his brain that's curious. It's he wants to know what that is.
I have one more question for Kevin.
For Todd.
Or for
Kevin.
Todd.
Yeah, no, Kevin. I'm mixing up our colors. Yes, you're right.
Kevin, how cool was that snake? I know that it was a serious thing and it was a weird thing and all that stuff, but was it a pretty cool snake, or were you terrified of it?
It's cool to laugh about it now, but when you have, DCFS on one line and animal control on the other, and you're freaking out because your student teaching all this is happening.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking, oh my goodness, my classmates are never going to believe this story.
Yeah, no, we barely believe you. I think you dropped something in college and it's just hitting you now.
I believe you, that's not normal.
That's not normal at all. No, very strange. Well, thank you so much, Kevin.
Thanks for having me.
Of course. Good luck with everything. Keep working hard. We're going to take a quick break here. Todd, hold on the line, because I've got to take a commercial. We've had so much fun talking to everybody. You're listening to Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez, joined in studio by comedian Pete Lee. Hello, this is Patty Vasquez, and you're listening to Pretty Late on 720 WGN. I want to just talk to one of the folks on Facebook. I was talking earlier about how we went into fight for Declan to stay another year at his school because the program ends at 9. They just disperse these children to other programs throughout the city that are not... the thing about the school he goes to or went to was that it was highly structured, and it was an environment where he was really succeeding and progressing. And when you take that away and then go, here, start somewhere else... There's going to be a backslide, a significant backslide. So, Mary, thank you so much, but no, they've given me a definitive absolutely not on staying another year at the school that he's at. They used to do that. I think you're familiar with which school it was, but they're much more strict now and not willing to bend on that. We have on the line. I'm sorry.
It's too bad that you can't just lie about his age like a Chinese gymnast in the Olympics. Well, you remember how they did that? Where it's like the girl is clearly like 12.
Half the kids in some of those baseball teams that play internationally. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's like 14 and he looks 25.
Well, it's funny you say that. They used to, that's why they're not willing to budge, because the school used to fudge the grades. They would say, we're holding this child back. To give a child like Declan a designation of a grade is arbitrary, because you're saying that he just
completed third grade when he doesn't like respond to his name.
Wow.
You know, so it, or he does, but I mean, he doesn't. He doesn't spell. He doesn't draw. He doesn't. I mean, he expresses himself and understands the world differently on a different level. But to say he's a third grader is asinine. Is absolutely asinine. And emphasis on the ass. Not you, Todd. Hey, Todd, how's it going?
Good. How are you, Betty?
I'm listening to those pipes.
Wow.
Pete, you like that? Yeah,
wow.
He was in studio.
First
he's
off,
a- yes.
Let me just say, it's pretty late. What's that, Betty Vasquez?
Hey, we haven't created that clip of Todd doing saying pretty late. What time is it, Pete?
I know.
What time is it, Todd?
It's pretty late with Betty Vasquez.
Thank you. What's going on tonight or this morning?
This is very frustrating for me because I have a lot of friends. There's two jobs in the city that I would never even consider taking. That's teaching or being a cop.
Yeah.
Neither one of them get any respect whatsoever. These guys, I'm friends with so many teachers. My kids went through the public school system. And if you think that they're not doing their jobs or they're overpaid or whatever, my kids, one is going to Lake Forest College. The other one's going to an Ivy type school, mm-hmm. Holy Cross out in Massachusetts. That proves that they're doing their job.
There you go.
It's up to the kids to make sure that they're doing it. It's up to the parents to keep their kids in line.
Right.
To make sure that they're succeeding. You can't lay it on the teachers.
No,
just like you
that's
can't
true.
Lay it on the cops to patrol where everything's going in the neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't know where your kid is at 2 o'clock in the morning, that's your fault. That's not the cops' fault.
Right. I agree.
So, enough on that. Now, with the teachers, I know guys who teach at Taft. They drive all the way from Beverly to come out to Taft because they can't afford anything on the north side because of their salaries. I know teachers that have part-time jobs in the summer because they can't afford it without it. So all this crap about them getting overpaid, get off it already. You have your job making your money. They do their job because they love what they're doing. Just like the police love what they're doing, just like me being a fireman, I love what I'm doing.
Right.
Get off their backs.
Yeah, there was a guy washing the windows right here in the little fishbowl that we're in, and all I could think through that whole conversation, I was like, he's probably also a teacher.
Like, right.
That was the weirdest thing one time at Christmas. I went to, it was Marshall Fields at the time, and the guy ringing up my coffee maker for my mom was my history teacher.
Oh,
yeah,
wow.
That was very strange. Mr. Youngling. That was his name.
Mr. Youngling. I still can't get over Todd's voice. Like, you know what this sounds like? Like, you know when they do like an interview on like 2020 with like a guy that like saw a major crime but they're disguising his identity, mm-hmm. and then they give him that like filtered
that modulator,
voice.
Whatever.
Yeah, that voice modulator. Like, that's how deep his voice is. It's insane. That's awesome.
A lot of people give me the Charlie Brown wah wah wah.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, those are some good pipes. We like that. Well, thank you. Yeah, I agree. The cops and the teachers kind of take it on the chin in the city of Chicago. But, well, what can you do? Keep trying. That's all I can say. Keep trying, keep talking about it, and keep moving the ball down the field.
And just like that,
a cop pulled up.
Cop.
Maybe they're listening. I don't know.
And then,
Todd, did you send the cops to the WGN?
I did.
Okay.
I did.
All right. Well, thank you.
I told them you had donuts.
Oh, I don't have donuts. Oh my gosh, Craig, go get some donuts. Have a great morning, Todd. We'll talk to you soon. And I do like the pink hat, so whenever you can get that for me, thank you.
Yes, yes. Right,
cool. Thanks. Bye-bye. Inside conversation. No yawning. Pete Lee is yawning.
I have no idea how many donuts to get for three cops. By the way, is it three dozen?
Are there three cops out there?
There were three. I saw three cops.
You saw in the big. What is it? A Suburban? What kind of police? A vehicle,
yeah,
would you say that
you
is?
No, that's fine.
I think that's a Yukon.
A Tahoe?
Is a
Yukon.
A Yukon or a Tahoe?
We're going through all of our
Let's
Chevys.
Say Tahoe.
You like that?
I like mm-hmm. that.
You just want to go to Tahoe. That's why you
I
want
do.
To say Tahoe.
A little bit.
My town used to make those forever. In Janesville, Wisconsin, we'd make all of those.
Did you make
that's
any?
That's right.
No, but
really a missed opportunity there. I think you would have had a lot of fun making Tahoe.
I think so.
How great was I? Well, there was a point where I was going to not go to college and then just work at the plant.
Mm-hmm.
But if I wouldn't have gone to college, I wouldn't do comedy. And then
the worlds of ifs.
The worlds of ifs.
Patty Vasquez, you're listening to Pretty Late on 720 WGN. Joining me in studio is comedian Pete Lee, who is he's riding shotgun as my co-host.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like we should really radio this. Like, you're listening to Pretty Late. She's pretty. I'm late.
1:08 p.m.
How are you late?
I need
more. I'm actually late all the time.
Just in general.
There you go, just in general.
Hey, Patty, were you guys talking off the air about what we're going to do here for this segment? Because I was going to ask you about a topic we could talk about, but I think you might have a plan.
Well, no, go ahead. Do you want to?
Well, I was curious. Today I made my food and I told you that it exploded right before I ate it.
He heated something up in it. Go ahead. Explain your story.
Well, no. So I'm curious. Have you ever eaten something and been really weary of whether or not it will murder you? Is that something you've ever done? Because I did that this evening and I'm starting to feel a little more and more nauseous.
Well, it started with he had a big styrofoam cup, like a soup cup.
Are those microwavable?
No.
Okay.
So first of all, no.
Strike one.
But here's the thing. I go, no, it's not safe to microwave that in the styrofoam cup because it would just melt.
Yeah. No, it really like it started to fold in. So I made a soup. I made a Progresso soup. I thought that's healthier than Campbell.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Uh-huh.
So I made it in a styrofoam cup and then I had a plastic spoon. And I don't know what chemicals went into the soup from the cup while I was microwaving it. Mm-hmm. But I took it out of the microwave. No problem. Stuck my plastic spoon in to start consuming said soup, and it exploded. All this stuff shot out at me.
Oh, my
and
God.
It seemed like a Bill Nye Science Guy reaction.
That actually can happen with water in the microwave.
Oh, can it?
Yes. It's a function of the microwave where the electrons are being jostled about through the microwave, the microwaves, the radiation, and sometimes it builds reverse surface tension. So when you first break the surface of a liquid, it can psh, like a volcano.
And that was because of this. It's not because of plastic. It's just that I broke
it can happen with just regular tap water in a glass.
It's very, very rare, but
I mean, that could be what happens.
So, Ted, am I going to die?
No, it's just
okay, cool.
You just released a whole bunch of heat that wasn't able to, actually energy that wasn't able to escape.
Do you think I feel nauseous right now because I'm scared that I'm going to die?
Yes.
It's just mental?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yes, we all agree on that.
Okay, cool.
Ted, should he have used the styrofoam cup to microwave
his
soup? No.
That was a mistake. 3 minutes. Was that too long for Professor
that was,
Soup?
Yeah, that was too long for the soup anyway.
It was pretty hot. Yeah.
You probably need 90 seconds on that.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Good talk. Yeah.
By the way,
has anyone else ever done that?
How blown is Pete Lee's mind right now? He's just staring up at Ted.
Yeah, I'm just staring up at Ted like, you're the smartest man that I've
ever
seen.
Watch a lot of science television. That's all.
Like, do you know when you were a little kid and you saw somebody do that, like, finger-thumb trick where they, like, it looked like they were removing their thumb?
Oh, yeah.
That's how
yeah.
I'm looking at you right now.
That's actually an illusion.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're not really removing their digit.
Do you know the one where they put their two middle fingers and then they turn their hand and do this?
Yeah. I know another one involving middle fingers. I'm very familiar with that, but...
Yeah,
I'm not sure the one you're.
That was just as magical.
That was magical. Yeah. That was it was amazing how he just broke that, and he just had that knowledge on
just
top
in his,
of his
brain.
How did we start? How did we start this evening with one dude and three women, and then one woman and three dudes?
Yeah, this is great.
This is some sort of weird reverse.
Yeah. It's your fault. You booked Pete Lee.
Yeah,
it's not my fault.
No, he's great.
It's my pleasure to have Pete
Lee.
I've been counting down days since it was Pete Lee time in the studio.
I'm just super happy that, like, for once, people are like, Pete's in the room. Like, what a dude!
I was showing Craig your website. If you scroll across the links,
mm-hmm.
What goes through a Pete Lee brain that makes him create watching you get beat up by a girl?
Well, I have friends that. I'm very self-deprecating on stage,
right.
And then I also I make fun of my sensitivity a lot on stage. I mean, pretty much my whole point of view is like, you know, it sucks to be nice, you know, like it sucks to be sensitive. And so my friends who are photographers and then also graphic designers were like, that'd be so fun to create this module on your website where like a woman is beating you up, but you never see the woman's face. It's just like the sexy arm and the sexy leg, and she's in heels. And from the top of the links that you roll across until the bottom of the links.
Right. It gets progressively more violent.
It gets worse and worse to where I'm bloody. And we had a makeup artist that was making me more and more bloody. And they were like, it actually, like, even though I'm bloody, it's still kind of cute. You know,
yeah, absolutely. Would you say he looked cute as he's getting demolished by a girl?
My favorite is when he gets hit by a fish. Where did that come from?
Yeah, we had to go out and buy a fish. And we not only bought one fish, we had to buy like five fish.
You had to have stunt fish?
Yeah, because fish fall apart.
Yeah, they flake.
And the fish hurt, by the way. Like, the fish was not great to be slapped in the face.
It's a big mound of flesh that you're being hit with.
Wait, how many fish were you hit by to make this video? Five?
I think we used four, and then the fifth one just was wasted. So, like, that fish died. And, like,
for no reason.
If there's, like, a fish heaven, it was looking down on us. And it was like, hey, dude, so nothing? I could still be swimming, and you didn't even hit that guy with me? But yeah, PeteLee.net is my website if you guys want to go there.
Yeah, go to PeteLee.net and at PeteLeeTweets on Twitter.
At PeteLeeTweets.
Yeah, we've been talking about education. We've talked about, well, we've talked for an hour. We actually ended up talking about teachers, which was great. And I was going to switch gears earlier, but I think now's a good enough time because there's a hospital that's being sued for amputating a penis during a circumcision.
That's not what he was supposed to do.
That was not what they were supposed to do. That was not the intent of the said circumcision.
How jittery are you that you miss by that many inches? Or how small was
it's
the penis?
It's a baby, right?
Well, I don't think it was a baby. Let me see.
When do people do circumcisions?
Oh, no. Adult men can have...
That sounds awful.
Yeah, you can have it anytime. There are actually men that also strive to, like, they want reattachment of skin to replicate the original foreskin.
When in your brain do you decide, you know what, I've really wanted this circumcision and I never got it? So you just decide to get it? Why would men as adults
do
that?
Because they prefer the appearance and the hygiene of...
That sounds just awful.
I mean, depending where you are in the country, here in Chicago, it's very, very common. Yet to the coast, it's not nearly as common. Some people look at you strange.
Which coast?
Either.
Oh.
Yeah, both East and West Coast, non-circumcised are much more common than
what?
They are around here.
Yeah. So glad I'm a Midwestern girl.
My wife, who before me was a woman of New York City, when we first got together, she was like, oh, it's kind of fun to be with a guy who's circumcised. And like that was just a thing.
Did she say it was a preference for her?
Does
she appreciate it more or not? Just another one coming and going.
Yeah, I think she said she liked mine. Okay. She has to say
she
that.
She apparently landed on it. So
she has to say that. That's like when she tries on pants and then like they may or may not look big or small on her. And then I just have to be like, it's beautiful. You look beautiful.
Here's what my husband says. And maybe it's too late for you because you've already established a pattern. Mm-hmm. My husband's very good at saying that's not my favorite thing on you. You know that one dress that you have or those other jeans? Those look so much better on you.
Oh, that's a good way to
He's
do it.
He's really good.
And
I don't even hear it as you're fat or those, you know, those make you look fat.
Yeah.
He says he's very specific. He knows exactly which pair. You know those jeans that are like flared to the bottom, whatever. He's very good at that.
Oh, I need to. Can I call your husband?
Absolutely. I'm going to have flashcards made up for dudes.
I'm constantly getting in trouble and just like being like, oh, why did you say that? And like the one thing that I have started telling my wife is that, you know, that week of the month where you swell, like where like you retain water that week.
You mean while we're cycling?
Yeah, that's always the week that my wife is like, I'm going to go try on jeans and swimsuits and like anything that you just shouldn't try on that week. Like there should actually be like somehow where like the stores know your cycle and then like the door just like locks when you go up to it so that you can't, because like she ends up crying and she's like, I'm fat, I didn't fit into any sizes. And I'm like, honey, I love you. Like you're not that size, number one. Like you're retaining water.
Yeah, why would she go during that time?
Because her girl brain, like that's like that, no, that's like like I think guy brains have like they're misfires, and like part of the girl brain that misfires is like I feel fat, so I think I want to go see if I am, and then it's always verified. But she's not that size, just wait 4 days, and you're gonna fit into that thing.
What's a guy brain misfire?
Oh man, just anger.
Oh yeah, that's true. I would say anger.
Oh, did you see this on Facebook that I posted a picture of two guys in a fist fight on the side of the road by O'Hare? I landed at O'Hare, and this was on yesterday. Not Thursday, but Wednesday.
Okay.
I landed O'Hare, and you know everybody in the country kind of jokes about how violent Chicago is. Like, oh, don't go to Chicago.
Land. Oh, no.
I get in my Uber car, and then these two guys squeal to a stop on the side of the road, and then all of a sudden you see them get out, and it's a short dude, like a short like chubby dude, and then a giant.
Oh yeah.
Dude.
Oh,
right?
And he's got a big belly, too. There's one kind of lean, taller dude and a kind of a squat dude.
Yeah, and the lean, taller dude's also wearing sweatpants, so he's dressed for a fight.
He's ready.
Like, he's ready for this fight. And
By the way, Ted, he's wearing the stout dude is wearing a White Sox, Chicago White Sox shirt.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, the stout dude. So they're arguing, and then all of a sudden you just see crack. And the guy wearing sweatpants just knocks the other dude out.
Oh, he knocks out White Sox fan.
He knocks the dude out, gets in his car, and leaves. And
Yeah, everyone go to his Twitter right now. This is a horrible mismatch of a fight.
Yeah, go to
the one guy is really physically fit, and the other guy is just a chubby guy.
If he goes to Comiskey, he's calling that guy down every chance
like,
he gets.
One guy is wearing a White Sox shirt, and the other guy looks like one of the White Sox.
Yeah, he does. Like one of the players. Is that a mohawk?
That's like
is that a shaved mohawk?
It's a shaved mohawk.
An afro mohawk, yeah.
Yeah, and it's And the guy who knocked him out was clearly like that wasn't his first fight, you know. Like he was just like, okay, now I'm just gonna knock you out and have you stop talking.
Well, even the body language shows that the taller dude in the sweatpants is like, okay, I know where this was going.
And if I'm the chubbier, less athletic guy, and I pull over to the side of the road and I watch the other guy get out of his car first, you then drive away. I don't know why he continued this fight.
Yeah, he had a car that he could have left.
Right,
and,
yes. You had a getaway car all set up, man. Just go.
Get back in that car.
And my Uber driver, he did the funniest thing. Like, so we were like two lanes over from when we saw the cars like ahead squealing to a stop. Like, I mean, there was like smoke from them squealing to a stop.
Wow.
Right? And so all of a sudden he's like, ooh, a fight. And he turns lanes so we could get to the lane closest to them. And then he drives by slowly while recording it on his iPhone.
While he's driving. Okay,
right?
Ted, right there, that's something with Uber that I think I have a problem with. I think I'm going to have a problem with that sort of guideline.
Oh, Pete, she doesn't like Uber at all. I don't know if you know that.
Okay.
A lot of us like Uber.
Yeah, everybody.
Patty does not.
I like it.
I'm probably going to Uber back tonight.
So he's driving, videotaping, rolling past the fight.
Rolling, but I mean, we're going 5 miles an hour, and there's also not another car for like 100 yards mm-hmm. in front of us. I also was in the back seat of it taking still pictures of
I
don't have enough memory on my phone. I've got a killer music selection.
Can't you get an SD card? Is it Apple?
It's an iPhone.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I feel really cool not being able to do a lot of things that your phone can do. That's basically what my iPhone is.
What happens. Okay, I'm sorry. I disrupted the fight.
Steve Jobs, never forget.
Never forget.
But the guy knocked the other guy out, and then he just got in his car, and he drove away. And so I said to the Uber driver, I was like, hey, you should probably call 911 just because that guy just got knocked out, and he's just kind of laying there. And like I know that like I'm posting this on Facebook so I can get likes, and then you have the thing because you're probably going to try to put it on World Star Hip Hop, or YouTube to try to get a billion views. But I was like, we should also do the responsible thing and just call 911. So he called 911, and it was funny because he had the 911 on the Bluetooth, and it was like we just saw a fight next to the freeway, and the 911 operator was like. You know, like just like in Chicago, like the stuff that they hear, like in any other city, they'd be like, okay, we'll get somebody there right away. And they're like, oh God, you know, like,
do you know what we're dealing with on the south side of Chicago?
That guy's going to wake up. He'll be fine. Come mm-hmm. on.
Yeah. Let's see. Like, could you stay there? And yeah. But of course we would have stopped mm-hmm. and like tried to help the guy. But the guy who got knocked out was the angrier, meaner guy. So I don't want to talk to him.
No,
I'm not. Yeah, I'm not poking that bear.
Mm-mm-mm. No. That's quite the show. It's always a show. I never see things like that. I've lived here my entire life. I never see a fight.
You've never seen a fight?
No, I mean, not at O'Hare Airport on the side of the...
Oh, I've seen one on the CTA when I'm riding home. Just two people doing a cage match inside one of the train cars.
Wow.
When I cocktailed the Cactus, which is right by the Board of Trade, there were fights all the time. You know what I used to do? When the dudes would all, like, you know, clear the bar, taking the fight outside, I'd take all their lighters.
That's awesome.
That's how I play.
The leader of the Cactus made for you and me. M-I-C-K-E-Y-M-O-U-S-E. Hey there, hi there, ho there, yo, as welcome as can be. M-I-C-K-E-Y-M-O-U-S-E. Mickey Mouse!
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Mickey Mouse!
Donald Duck!
Forever.
You're listening to Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez, and we went costume shopping yesterday. Pete Lee, he was wearing a Super Mario Brothers. He really wanted me to rent the Super Mario Brother costume, but I'm not I don't think that goes across all demographics the same way. One particular cartoon character.
Oh yeah,
this one
is like loved by everyone.
By everyone. So you know, happiest place on earth. I'm just saying. Did you see me just pull my Spanx out a little bit? Did you watch that?
You're wearing Spanx?
I'm wearing Spanx.
Can I tell you what you look like right now? You look like a girl who's used to wearing Spanx, but like she doesn't need them at all.
That's very sweet of you.
Your stuff is so like you're so tight in your midsection.
What?
And like
say it again.
Yeah, you got your stuff tight.
You know, when you and I were in North Carolina for that comedy festival,
we worked out together.
We worked out together. And what you could, I don't know if you could see, you were on like one of the ellipticals, I think. Mm-hmm. And I went into another room. I do this thing called 4 Minute Abs, and I swear by it. It's Michael Chang. And it's really good. It's just really quick and intense. And I think everybody can give it a shot.
Yeah,
and
that's your abs are really good right now.
Thank you very much. I never had my son came over and he goes, how do I get that? Because it's like, it's a little bit, I'm getting started. I never in my life had definition on the obliques.
Oh, yeah.
I'm very excited.
I've got abs right now.
You look even more fit than when we were in North Carolina in March.
I was, I'm training for this 150-mile MS bike ride.
What?
Yeah, one of my friends has MS and he does the bike ride. And so I'm like, he has a serious disease and he does 150 miles, so I'll do it with him. And so I've done it the last 5 years. And I should look up. I have a website where people can donate. But
yes,
I gotta
please
look,
find that.
I got to look it up.
That's okay. We have another 20. We have 20 some minutes.
Okay.
Ish. Whatever it is.
I'm totally looking it up.
I'm going to tell you because you were talking earlier about a fight that broke out over by O'Hare Airport. There it is. There was a Florida man run over by his own truck during road rage. That's my favorite headline. A man in Florida apparently got a dose of road rage karma when police say he was run over by his own pickup truck after getting out to bang on another driver's window.
That's hilarious.
How much rage do you have to be in to not throw your truck into park?
I mean, that's just so much dumb rage that he's such an idiot that he doesn't know how, or I don't know.
Well, on top of it, he'd been drinking and drove into a vehicle stopped at a red light. He got out of his truck without putting it in park and began banging on the window of the woman's car. When the frightened woman drove away, there was nothing holding his truck in place. So he was wedged up against her car. She pulled away. And the truck rolled into Carl. Mm-hmm. The police reports say he was taken to the hospital where he was treated for fractures in his hand and foot. Fantastic. I love that his truck was wedged against the car that he hit. By the way, and drinking aside, which is obviously a problem here, he was charged with a DUI and property damage. But I've been rear-ended a couple times. And the dudes always get out of the car and start yelling at me. Every single time.
Their first thing is intimidation.
Yes.
Right?
Even the guy that we were talking about last night that drove me off the road, he fell asleep and drove me off of 90.
What?
I almost died about 4 years ago. I was, my car bent the frame. He ran into me from behind, Porsche Cayenne. He and his family own La Creperie. Yeah, I don't mind. You know what? I asked when we settled our case, can I still talk about it publicly? And if I write something, can I write about it? And they said, absolutely. There's nothing. So
Jeremy
Renault drove me off the road. He was on amphetamines and an anti-anxiety medication. But in the state of Illinois, they can't quantify how much was in his system. And in court, he said that he'd fallen asleep behind the wheel. He was sleepy. He was very drowsy. And he almost killed me.
I feel really bad for him.
I was quite for his Porsche. You know what? My CRV. I loved that CRV. It was the first car I ever bought, and it was unfixable. But when I came to a stop, he came over and was giving me the gesture to roll my window down. Which, by the way, that circular motion for like roll your window down. Most of us pretty much have electric windows now.
Yeah.
But that was what was going through my head. But I was like trapped because the door was up against my body, and I was kind of squished into my steering wheel, so I couldn't really pay attention to what he was doing. In court, the attorney was like, "He tried to help you, you know, and you wouldn't respond to him." I said, "He drove me off the road. I thought he was coming up to my window to finish the job."
Yeah, anger.
Yeah. Yeah. And so he told the police officer that I came out of nowhere. And the cop said, going backwards at 65 miles an hour?
Well, everybody comes out of nowhere when you're on amphetamines. Like, I'm sorry. Like, yeah. Sorry, bud. Sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Well,
about
that is a big problem. I mean, even if, you know, for people who aren't on medications, being sleepy is so dangerous. We've been on the road for many years. Do you ever nap when you're driving? I mean, not on the road, not while you're behind the wheel.
No, I mean, sorry, I'm still looking for this address so I can pimp out my MS thing. But so I'm not trying to be completely inattentive.
I used to pull over and take naps in church parking lots was what I would do because I figured that's a safe place. So you can keep looking.
I would do it. I would always like stop at like a rest area, but I'd park like right near the front, which is actually the most embarrassing place to stop and take a nap.
Because everyone sees you as they pull in?
Everybody sees me drooling and
are you sitting
awful.
Straight up in your car or do you think people are walking by you and looking in the windows?
I'm like, I'm definitely like sometimes I'd even go in the back seat like a weirdo.
Yeah, that's,
you know,
not weird.
With like,
well,
a blanket.
Yeah, that's how you're supposed to do that.
You spread out.
Oh yeah, yeah. And
it still feels weird to go to sleep in your car, as he's saying, because if someone does look in, it's not a very closed off space.
I can't
and
take,
you do feel awkward.
I can't take you seriously in the cartoon. Like,
I don't know
with
what
the big
you're,
with
what
the big
saying.
How do you even touch it?
I can't touch many of the buttons with these gloves on, but
yes.
I had to
Craig
take
is,
the cartoon head off.
Craig is wearing a cartoon costume, and it's
most of it.
It's a little distracting.
Okay, I'll put the head back on, but then
no,
I'm going to just.
No, you
I'm
don't have to put the head back.
Distorted.
Can you talk while you have the head on?
So, Patty, I. I mean, honestly, when you fall asleep in your car, everybody can see you, and you just can't be comfortable. It's not a good sleep.
You remember earlier you were saying we had a caller who sounded like his voice was distorted? Like, that's what people should wear when they don't want to be recognized in interviews, like, for 60 minutes.
I'm so glad you said something about the gloves, because that was so funny that he looks like a normal guy because we can't see much of him, but then he's gesturing with the gloves.
The big
and
gloves.
It's so funny.
Oh, man. I feel like I'm tripping now. This is very strange and surreal.
You're straight tripping, boo.
This is a really terrible radio gag, too, right? Right now, because no one can see any of what I'm doing.
It's an entertaining.
But it's really funny.
And
yeah, right.
Oh,
hey,
I finally found. I finally found the website.
Okay.
It's MS can suck a cat butt.
MS can suck a cat butt. All right.
MSCanSuckACatButt.com.
Okay, so go to that website because you and your friend are going to be riding 150
miles. 150
miles.
So if you go to MSCanSuckACatButt.com.
MSCanSuckACatButt.com.
Yeah, I just wanted something that was like funny, and so I bought that domain, and I was like, what? That's available?
What are the chances? You know what the chances were? 100%.
100%.
100%.
100%.
Do the math on that.
But they were, MSCanSuckACatButt.com.
All right. I like it. So 150-mile ride, where does it start and end?
It starts in Madison, Wisconsin. It starts in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and then it goes to Whitewater, Wisconsin. We stay over in a dorm, and then we have to – so we do 75 miles, and then the next day you wake up, and, like, your muscles can do another 75 miles. But your butt that's been on that seat for 75 miles just can't. Mm-mm. Like, it's just the, like, you have like a huge case of baboon butt, and then you have to put it on a bike seat again. It's just the, it's like.
It, yeah, that's got to be painful.
It's really painful. So go to MSCanSuckACatButt.com.
And raise some money for MS to so that we can stop sucking cat
butts. I can't believe you couldn't remember that website name for a while. You had to really figure that out.
Yeah, it's
it's a fairly original name.
Yeah, I can't believe that I had to look up MSCanSuckACatButt.com. But here's what happened is I thought that that's what it was, and then I typed it in, but I typed two T's in cat.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm like, it's not coming up. I'm like, maybe that's not what it is. And I'm just an idiot.
Yeah.
But
you're not an idiot. I'm impressed with your skills.
You're not an idiot.
You're not an idiot, Pete. Don't let anyone tell you that you are.
MS can suck a cat butt.
Say it again.
MS can suck a cat butt.
I like it. And so your how long have you been friends? Apparently from when you were living in Wisconsin?
Yeah, he was on a water ski team that I was on. I was a show skier. Like, I did all, like, the pyramids and all. Did I talk about that the last
Never.
Time I was on here? Yeah, I have a...
Well, you were, like, what, a Delavan? Or where was it?
Janesville. I was a rock aqua jay.
What?
And, so I did ski jumping. I did barefoot water skiing. I did wakeboarding in the show. I have a world record in barefoot water skiing.
It still stands?
Yeah, it still stands. It's me and 16 of my friends. We did this trick called jump out of two, where you're on two skis and you go like 50 miles an hour and then you just jump out of them and go barefoot water skiing. And there are several people that have like been paralyzed doing this. And we were like,
you're immortal when you're young.
Yeah, we're just dumb kids that are like, yeah, like this will impress people. And so we got 16 guys behind one boat and did it. Like, the previous world record was 4. Because when you jump out, you lose control and you can't stay in your lane. And if you can't stay in your lane and you bump into your friend could be paralyzed. Mm-hmm. But we were like, let's get 16. And we did it in front of like a huge – we did it in a show. So it was like there were, I think, like 4,000 people that like saw it.
That's amazing.
Yeah, so it was cool.
How do they confirm that? Where is it? Where is that listed? Is it Guinness?
It's in Guinness. I don't know. It's called World Record Bomb Out Water Skiing. But yeah.
Well, how do you practice for something like that?
You do a lot of the bomb outs. They're called bomb outs, so that you jump out of two. And we would do like a lot of guys behind one boat. A lot of times we'd go out with like 8.
Mm-hmm.
And we just one day we're like, let's do 16. And then adults were like, yes, you guys should do that. That's
a lot of supervision going on in Janesville, Wisconsin.
Yeah, I don't know. I think the adults were drinking.
In Wisconsin? Go figure. It's not happening.
But I've lived my whole life just knowing it's never the same as it seems. I can't change the world.
That's music from the Scholars, and you can go to Kickstarter.com and help them reach their goal. I think their goal is like $800, and they're at $535 right now. So just, you know, $5, a dollar. If you they start giving, you know, sort of gifts at different price points at $25, you know, at some point they actually, you can go on a date with the whole band.
Wow,
there are seven of them, and I believe they're between, let's say, like 16 and 20. So I mean, it's just kind of a fun hangout, go miniature golfing or something. And I think I believe somewhere in the $100 or $200 range, you can go to the studio when they do their live recording and hang out while they do that.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, they're great. And they're such fun. I mean, I'll show you the pictures when we're done of them performing at the House of Blues. When they came in, the first time they came in and they played their first song and we went to a commercial, like they held it for a second and then they just erupted into like cheering because they played on the radio.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's cool. And if you guys want to go on tour with them, you can go to mscansuckacatbutt.com. And that's
for $1,000, you can go on tour with the Scholars.
Yeah.
They're mostly touring. I think they have like Northbrook Days coming up next week. And they're really just great kids. We had a lot of bands come in and out every week. What was it, about 6 weeks? So we had about a dozen bands.
Yeah, at least.
Something, maybe less than a dozen.
Because there might have been sometimes where we had three in at the same time.
That was wild. But there was one band, Pete. They were coming up on the loading docks, and I saw them. I go, hey, do you guys need a hand? Meaning, you know, I'll help you. Yeah. And also, I'll get others to help you. And the guy goes, yeah, we got more S in the car. You know, like, and I was like, did you just cuss at me?
That's really funny that you're being helpful, and then he just swears at you.
Yes. Like, you and I are that kind of person, right? If we're being nice and someone's a jerk, I can't, I don't take it well.
I was in Montreal and I went to, this was back when I was at my poorest, poor, mm-hmm. and I had to borrow money from my wife to go to Montreal. And then when you get to the comedy festival, they give you the stipend that's like $85.
Right.
I was like, I have $85 to live on for like 7 days. You know, I was like, yes, I can do this. So I was like, I planned out my meals. I went to Subway and I like splurged and I got the cookie, but they're like, if you can get three cookies for the same price. So I got three cookies and I go out on the street and this homeless guy was like, he's like, you got any change? And I was like, I have no money. But I was like, I could give you a cookie. And the guy goes, what kind?
No.
Yeah, he goes, what kind? And I was like,
that's literally a beggars can't be choosers situation.
Yeah. And literally. And and I go, you know what kind? The kind you're not getting. Because I was like, that was horrible. And I just walked away and my friend was walking with me and he goes, you just like yelled at a homeless guy. And I was like, yeah, because like I'm so poor. And then he was a jerk when I offered him food.
You know, to be honest, Pete, though, did you pick really weird kinds of cookies? Were you just ashamed at the cookies you had picked?
No, I
were they really obscure cookie versions?
I had chocolate chip M&M. That's the best one.
Oh, yeah,
that
is the best one.
That's the best one.
I have to agree with you on that.
Yeah, you know what?
I'm hungry.
That guy missed out on a chocolate chip M&M cookie.
That'll teach him.
That will teach him.
I don't think so. But I struggle with panhandlers because mm-hmm. I used to like give people money and then one day I didn't have anything mm-hmm. and I said, I'm sorry, I don't have any money. And this guy started yelling at me and was like following me and like, sorry, he doesn't put food in my mouth. And I was like, no, I was actually apologizing. I mean, because generally I do. So I have not since that time. I just don't.
This guy in North Carolina, I was outside of a Subway restaurant and I had gotten a car upgrade.
Yeah, great feeling.
Oh, it was so great.
You win something.
It was the best car upgrade that I've ever gotten. It was a budget rental car and they had a red Mercedes coupe, like the sports car coupe.
Nice.
And that was my upgrade, right? And I was, this was like during a time, so like I had rented like an intermediate car and then I got this. And I was going to do a college, but it was the beginning of college season, coming out of the summer. I had no money. And then it was like the thing where you go to each college and they go, sorry, we don't have your check. Check's in the mail. And so like I'm running out of money, but then I had this insane car that I rented on my credit card. And this guy comes up to me and he goes, you got any change? I was like, dude, I don't have any change. I was like, and this was, again, I went to Subway, right? I went to Subway again because I was like, it's the cheapest thing I can get. And then and he goes, all right, well, if you can't give any money, he goes, at least shake my hand. And I was like, that sounded like the worst thing in the world, to just shake this guy at random, like, dude's hand. Uh-huh. And I go, I don't touch things, is what I said to him. Uh-huh. And he goes, you touched that bag, didn't you? And it was actually one of the best comebacks. It was so witty.
You touched that bag.
Yeah, and I actually wish that I could have given him money at that point, because it made me laugh so hard. He's like, you touched that bag, didn't you? And I was like, yeah, I did.
I don't touch things. Joining us in the studio is Nick DiGilio, who's coming on next. Hey, Nick. Hey,
how's it going?
It's going well. How are you doing?
All right.
This is Pete Lee.
Hi, Pete.
I think you met last time. Yes? No?
No.
No. All right.
I don't think we met last time. You're wearing an F-Train t-shirt.
I am.
The F-Train's in my neighborhood.
Is it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's 63rd and 3rd.
I got this.
63rd and Lex. Sorry.
God, I got this shirt in like 1999.
Really?
Yeah. Wow.
It's holding up well.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
For being a 15-year-old shirt, does it have birthdays? Another sure. year. For
I celebrate. I celebrate my T-shirt's birthdays.
How do you
know
it's from 99? Did someone give it to you?
No, because we were there for the Fringe Fest.
Okay.
I brought a play of mine out there for the Fringe Fest, and we were there for 3 weeks, and I remember buying it. And all the thing I remember about that is I was drunk like almost the whole time we were there.
Mm-hmm. That happens.
I did an adaptation of High Fidelity called The Vinyl Shop mm-hmm. before Cusack got a hold of it. We did really well with it, so we brought it out to New York at the Fringe Festival. Mm-hmm. We stayed there for 3 weeks, and what I remember is we partied, we had a great run, and that damn Santana song, Smooth, was playing everywhere.
With Rob Thomas?
Oh, my God. Everywhere you went, that stupid song was played. It's the thing that just is etched into my brain. I hate that song. I can't stand it. I can't stand Rob Thomas. And it was every, you couldn't get away with him. You couldn't get away from it.
Yeah, you couldn't get, that one was, and yeah, now you only hear that song really if you're like at the dentist. Right? Like that's.
Yeah, the dentist. Yeah.
Like, I wonder if Rob Thomas and Santana were doing that, they like knew that behind, like in the background of that, it was going to be like, drilling and picking.
I think actually the more accurate place to hear it would be at the proctologist office.
Oh, nice, yeah. Nice. Yeah, now I've got an image.
Yeah.
There you go. By the way, Pete was on one of the early episodes of Last Comic Standing this season. I don't know if you're still watching the episodes.
I've got, you know what, I'm DVR'd on them.
Okay.
I got them kind of loaded in.
But Pete, you were in the, what was your, like I you was, were in the, well, there were only 100 they started with.
Yeah, the invitational round. And they advertised the heck out of 100 comics. 100 comics were, and then they showed like 70.
Right.
And,
right.
Yeah, and then there was again, but I can't be too bitter. I did only made it.
He had to turn it down because of his contract with Viacom. He was doing Best Week Ever for VH1.
Yeah. And
what's it like to do that?
It's pretty cool.
Yeah,
it's pretty. I mean, it's really great. Like, it's basically like television boot camp because you're doing everything you could. Like, you're doing like straight to camera stuff,
right?
Straight to camera with teleprompter, where you're hosting. You're doing sketches, like because our executive producer really wanted to turn it into a sketch show. So we're doing sketches where you'd come in and they'd be like, "We need you to play Justin Bieber this week, so learn how to do an impression." So you'd spend an hour with like another person, like learning it.
I'm sort of obsessed with all those VH1 shows. Those I love the 80s and 70s and 2000s.
Yeah,
and all that.
I love the 2000s.
I watched them all.
Yeah. I was on that. You saw me on there.
Yeah,
but, I was one of 100 comics.
But it's really, I think those are. Addictive. They're completely addictive.
Well, yeah. The thing that I had a meeting with our executive producer at Best Week Ever, because Best Week Ever used to be a clip show where people popped over clips and they talked about them. And the thing that's addicting about that is that you don't know what joke is coming next, and you also don't know who's saying it. So it's complete
hodgepodge. Kind
yeah, of. It's short attention span theater. But they turned it into, we had a lot of hosted segments where it was the same person talking, so mm-hmm. it was like it turned it into a real talking head. And I was like, I think that people are getting turned off by that. And also some of our sketches are just really dumb. and I'm a sketch writer as well. So I was like, maybe let some of the cast members write, 'cause we're all like trained active sketch people in the sketch community right now. I was like, let us do that.
Yeah.
And I was like, or just turn it into what it should be, is just like a clip show. And, but yeah, Yeah, I love the 2000s aired, and we got like insane ratings.
Oh yeah,
and so now the network is thinking about bringing our show back, and they just should making a clip show.
That's cool. That's cool.
That'd be great.
That'd be nice. What's coming up on next show?
It's Fly Jams Friday.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Yeah, we're gonna play some Fly Jams.
Nice.
It's every Friday. We celebrate the fantastic R&B jams of the 70s, 80s, and early 90s.
Perfect.
That'll be coming up. We're also gonna be talking about the Mars mission. With a space expert,
mm-hmm.
and he's a terrific guest, and he's coming up right after the news. Actually,
excellent. That's well, awesome. Let's get to the news soon. We've got to take a break here, and then we'll.